Hey there, everybody. Welcome back. Wow, another day. Here we are. We're 3 days in. We're a few days out of Lag BaOmer. And today is Gevura Shebhor. I know yesterday was a long one, longest one we've done. There's a lot of stuff here with Hod. And Hod, as I mentioned to me, is just one that I haven't put as much time into understanding the fear of myself, energies and the connections, the different connections that we're doing. You know, this is this and this is this. So it's good. It's good to see. Try and keep this one shorter. It will be shorter. But today is also a special day in the sense that today historically has a lot of significance. And today is the day that the man fell from heaven, from Shemaim, started falling. And this is the food that the Israelites, the children of Israel, they ate in the desert. So there's a lot of significance here with the food. Part of it being that the food from heaven, like I said, and if you didn't focus on what you're eating, it had, say that it tasted like a cake, like a sugar cake, some sort of thing like this. But it was kind of bland. It's this thing that if you just ate it all the time and you didn't think about what you're eating, it could get something that could be tiresome. In the tribes of Israel, they complained about it at one point, and that was an issue at some point. But if you did focus on what you're eating, it could taste like anything you wanted to, right? So you could be eating, I don't know what everybody likes. I liked, smoked tomahawk, whatever. And some barbecue, some ribs, and whatever you like it to be, your favorite tacos. I'm just talking for myself, obviously, now. But whatever you wanted to be, that's what it would taste. But you had to put that kavana, that intention, into it in order to get it out, right? But it was so healthy and nutritious that it left zero waste. But the main kicker about the man today is an analogy for our sustenance, right? Sustenance is an analogy for parnasa, for our livelihood, for money, for the amount of money we're going to make, and all this stuff. So people read the chapter of the man every day. It's a thing, and there's certain days as well where it falls out that it's even more important to do it. And today is such a day in the sense that it did fall starting today. And the main kicker about the man is that a person didn't get more or less than they needed. A person collected more than they needed, it would end up rotting. You had to get the man every single day for what you needed that day. So you could only get as much as you needed, except for Shabbat. You could get a double portion and that would hold over for Shabbat because you couldn't collect on Shabbat. And if you wanted to collect on Shabbat, it was a big, and we see now as well, people working on Shabbat. It's not that you're making more money, it's that you have a person, they have like a barrel of water that's given to them on Rosh Hashanah, and the person thinks, okay, well, if I work more, I'll get more money, but really what they're doing is they're putting an extra spout in the barrel, so now it can come out, but you're not adding more water in the barrel, so you can get some, and then unfortunately sometimes, this is the reason behind needing to have car fixes, God forbid, and flat tires and fridges not working and appliances and all this stuff because we weren't bringing that down the right way. And another aspect of the man was that the more emunah that you had, the more faith that you had that whatever you needed was going to come to you, the closer it was to your tent. That the people who had the most emunah, they would open up their tent and their man would be right there waiting for them. Right? And other people, they had to travel larger distances. We see this in business as well, how that applies. Right? How for one person, not that it's bad to travel for business, right? But a person, traveling all the time and being away from their family perhaps, or even working a lot, many, many hours, and not seeing necessarily how, doesn't mean you're going to get more money than you're meant to have. Of course, you have to work, you have to put in your hishtadlus, your effort. but overworking isn't going to do anything. And that brings us to today, to Gevura Shebhor, in the sense that Gevura Shebhor, yesterday we were talking about hod, meaning humility, and talking about gratitude and connection, and these will be concepts that are coming up a lot more. Last week we were talking about Netzach and getting out there and winning and victory. And sometimes people have an issue with Netzach or moving, taking action. You know, there's a thing about procrastination and pushing things off, and especially the things that seem to be most important or things that scare us, whatever it is. And so those same people seemingly feel as though they're very humble. They feel as though they're very humble. They say, look, you know, I don't cause much trouble. I don't say much. And, you know, I'm not bringing too much attention to myself. And maybe if they're not saying this to other people about themselves, this may be what they think in their head, right? But then somebody comes and they say one word to them and they lose it. They get upset. Or they fall into depression. You say one thing about them or give them some sort of constructive criticism, and all of a sudden they think they're the worst. This shows that that person doesn't actually have true humility. What that person has is they have a self-worth issue. They have an under-being issue. Gevura Shebhod comes to lift us up. Just like the man, you weren't supposed to take too much than you needed, I should say. You also shouldn't be taking less than you need as well. So this is an aspect that sometimes we can learn early in life. We learn our relationships with the things that we use every day, right? Like, you know, our relationship with money, our relationship with food, our relationship with sex, our relationship with our higher power. We learn this in our home as little children. We learn it from our parents, the people who raised us. And they do their best, hopefully, God willing. But they're humans who also need to count the Omer, because they also have character flaws, they have character defects. And if there's somebody who's not actively in recovery or looking and working on themselves, going doing his bodhidus, you know, doing stuff to bring the best out of themselves, then it's hard to be the best person they can be. And a lot of times they can pass on their own character defects onto their children. If the father, maybe, or the mother, whoever it may be, maybe they didn't grow up with much, and they have now money, which is great, that's a great gift. Money is a great gift. And now they think, the best way to help my kids is to shower them with possessions and materialism. It's not a bad thing to have nice things. It's not a bad thing at all to be able to give, and to give in abundance. But when these kind of things end up being the main aspect that the parent is focusing on, then the kid looks at that too. They say, hey, well, my, you know, whether consciously or unconsciously, well, my parent wasn't around much, but, you know, I got all these things, so that's cool, that makes up for it. And then they grow up, and they may feel that as well, and they're looking for to get feelings out of things. They look to shop, they look to thrift, they look to find things, and thrifting may be the other side that we'll talk about here in a minute. They look to get things, they look to get extravagant things, they look for material things to fill them. Once again, that God-sized hole, they're looking to fill that God-sized hole. And it's not there, and there's emptiness that comes in. And there's the other side as well, where maybe a person, a parent doesn't have much to give in terms of materiality, and that person does not have a good relationship with money themselves. And they start telling their kids that we don't have money and we don't have things, and they start telling their children that they lack. And this goes back to what we're talking about with confidence. When you have confidence, it's because you come from a place of abundance. When you don't have confidence, when you have fake confidence, it comes from a place of lack. And the same thing with humility. When you have real humility, because as we said, Netzach and Hod are one and the same, in the sense that we're running and returning. They're not quite mirrors, but they build off of each other. So a person with real humility comes in with a place of abundance. And a person who has fake humility comes in from a place of lack. I don't have it. I don't deserve it. I shouldn't have this. Who says that I should be putting myself out there? Why do I deserve anything? why should I, you know, then you see the person, right, they're, they made themselves to be a pauper. They don't want to throw away the shoes that they've had because who knows they're going to need them, or those shirts that you haven't worn, and or I'll use myself, that I haven't worn in years, and they're in my closet. Everybody has to look at their own thing for whatever it is, right? And they are keeping those material things because they lack, they don't know they're going to get again. So a person under being, making themselves to be a pauper, this person may have an amazing, amazing voice, and no one ever hears them because they are, in their minds, humble. But really, they're scared. They're under being. They may have an amazing thoughts of Torah, but they don't want to share them. And they can make excuses of, oh, when you learn and you give over, and who says I'm going to be able to give something over, and I'm not a rabbi, and this and that. But really, people are being inspired by them. It could be in business that the person doesn't want to post on social media. They're worried about what people are going to think, and they're going to say, and they're going to do. Right? And then there's the person out there on the other side, right, that they are taking way more than they need from people. And they're doing a lot more than necessary. And they're overworking themselves. And there's that same kind of energy because they also come from a place of lack. So, Gevurah Shebhod comes to teach us that we don't have to underbe. Gevurah has the boundaries, as we noticed. And we go beneath those boundaries because we think we're being humble. We think that we are being meek, or we're being frugal. There's so many different ways that we relate to it. And money is one of the most emotional things that we can have in our world, in our life. Right? It says that the two holiest things in the world, believe it or not, are sex and money. Right? These are the things that can connect us to Hashem the most. Funny enough. And food is up there as well. That's why they always come up. And that's why they're always necessary in our life. We can't escape them. You know, a person can be abstinent from alcohol. You can't be abstinent from food. You have to develop a good relationship with food. You have to develop a good relationship with money. You have to develop a good relationship with sex. These are the things that can bring us the most kedusha. And they can also bring us the lowest, lowest, lowest. And this is why the man, we had to have the kavana to elevate it. To elevate it and to have the kavana of what it's going to taste like. And in this way, we can have whatever we want in that regard. Also, an aspect of it is obviously we talked about charity, that kind of fun stuff. But just sticking to Gevurah, knowing that Hashem wants to give to you. Hashem wants to give to you so much. So, 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 so much. So many people don't believe in themselves. In order to believe in Hashem, you have to believe in yourself. You have to believe that Hashem wants to give you. You have to believe in your prayers. You have to believe that Hashem wants to hear your voice. Hashem wants to hear your prayers, wants to give to you everything, everything, everything. That the whole world is there waiting for you. You have a pipeline, direct pipeline that's coming down to you that wants to give you Shefa. And we're clogging it up. We're clogging it up. We're clogging it up. I feel like telling a story right now. But long story short, the guy was blocking his own blessings. He thought, I'm going to be very frugal and live a simple lifestyle. And his children were suffering. His wife was suffering. And yet, in Shemayim, they wanted to give him riches. And it took for somebody to come and to mess it all up until the person didn't have, he couldn't take it anymore. He had to go and scream out to Hashem. To scream out to Hashem. Hashem, Tati, why? Why? And by opening that up, he opened up the gates of Shemayim. By talking to Hashem, he opened up the gates of Shemayim. That sometimes a person is crying too much and they need to stop crying and they need to focus on gratitude. And sometimes the person isn't actually asking Hashem what they need at all. And they're being too nice with Hashem. Meaning they're not really being honest. Hashem knows what's in our heart. We know what's in our heart. So we're not being honest with Hashem. And it blocks up the blessings. So today, Gevurah Shebhod, we should really be zoiche to know that Hashem wants to give us so much. And not to take more than is necessary. And not to take less than is necessary. Not to underbe. Not to under-earn. not to be pig about it either, and be greedy, and to take, 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 and to need more and more and more, and to overwork, to be right there in the place of the man, that everybody gets what's important to them, everybody gets what's coming to them, so to speak. And we can get more if we do the right things. And we should be zoiche, that we should have man in abundance, that we should have our parnas in abundance, we should have shalom bayis in abundance, and everything in abundance. And it should be right here outside of our tent, that all we have to do is open up the flap of the tent, and it's sitting right there, that we don't have to go far for it, don't have to work crazy hours for it, and that we not underbe, that we really believe in ourselves, that we really know that Hashem loves us and wants to give to us. And Hashem, we should be zoiche to open our mouth up in gratitude and in true humility, and to say, Hashem, Tati, I just want to connect with you. Why should I be working all day when I can connect with you? Why should I be feeling bad about myself when I can connect with you? When you're the highest of the high, there's nothing like you. Ain't that Moshe had to come around and understand that he was the right person. And this way, by having real self-worth, by having real humility, we're going to see that all of our dreams come true for their best. The main one of the most humble, is the connection to Hashem and asking Hashem, what is it that you want from me? And in this way, we're going to see that we're loving each other more, and we're bringing Moshiach right away with the coming of the third temple. True peace, shalom in the land of Eretz Yisrael and all around the world, with all of the gathering of the, with all the Kibbutz Galayot, which is the theme of this week, and with the freeing of the hostages, and ultimate life of Shefa, L'chaim.